Yeah, this is good. This chair is a good thing. I thought it was a little much this morning, but I'm really glad I had it, believe me. I think the only thing is we don't have a lounge chair or like a recliner in the church anymore. Because that's been pretty much my life. I want to thank Michael specifically for... I had put him in an awful place 2 weeks ago, and I just appreciated when I called him on at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. I said, Michael, I don't even know if I can make it to the car. That's how much pain I was in. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. And so I just want to say publicly to Michael, thank you 1,000 times over. You've been amazing, and I just appreciate that. You can clap for Michael. He doesn't like it, but that's just too bad. Do you have the clicker? It is up there? Okay. Oh. That Sunday morning I was like, oh. It started actually on Wednesday night at the deacons' meeting, so we can blame the deacons for anything that... But at the deacons' meeting on that Wednesday night, it was, what, a week ago last Wednesday? Maybe? Something like that. 2 weeks ago, last Wednesday. Started feeling not good. Thought, well, you know, made it home. Thursday was, I was on my knees in a very particular room in the house. And, spent the whole day. Wow. Friday, same thing. High temperature. I thought, boy, this is not good. Pain like you wouldn't believe. And so I'm here to tell you now, if you have any pain across the bottom of your stomach and over here on the right, go immediately. So Lori was talking to me last week, and she said, you know, I'm having pain across the lower part of my stomach. And I said, you better go to the hospital. And she did, and she has the exact same thing as me. Her appendix had burst as well. So much fun. I could probably go into greater detail, but I'd rather not. At this point, but I cannot stay away from you. You folks are like a part of me, really. You're like you're like my arm, as I said. I had to be with you today, regardless. I just had to be with you. So yeah, it wasn't recommended, and I was read the Riot Act by Melissa and so many others by saying you just ought to stay home. Michael too, same thing. And thank you, Connie. She's back with the kids. But, she said, I'm ready if somebody needs to preach. So I got a card, and I got a bunch of cards. Like I said, I got a lot of them. And I wanted to read some to you, but I forgot them at home. But this one I just got this morning was sent to the church by Jackie and Herb Nicholas. So I figured I'd read this for you. It says, please get back on the road soon and take care of yourself. It's not easy getting parts for us older models. Yeah, boy, how true that is. So the long and short of it is I am going to be fine. I'm not allowed to drive. I'll see the surgeon on Wednesday until then. So let's hope that it's all good. Right, but thank you, really, thank you for your prayers. Thank you, Bev. Last week, I just heard some wonderful, wonderful things. Bev preached the sermon last week, and she was under the weather herself. So thank you so much for that. What a great scripture, though, Matthew 5. It's one of those scriptures that's challenging. Jesus is always challenging us to do more than we think that we can do. Anybody recognize anybody in that picture? No? I could turn around, but I really can't turn around. On your lower right, that's me. It is me in high school. Yeah, my senior year in high school. And that's Todd Edwards behind me. And Kim Sampson, she played in the orchestra. But the three of us went to state chorus. This is a picture taken from my senior year in high school, my We went to state chorus and state festival. It was down in Pittsburgh. We sang and played at Heinz Hall then. But I don't know why I thought about this, and I don't know how it came to mind. I don't even remember how I found this picture. But see how skinny I was? See how much hair I had? I did have a line. No, the hair is amazing. Used to get froze when I played basketball, but those were the good old days. That watch in that picture, by the way, I lost it down here at the Garden Restaurant. What was it called? Garden Gate Restaurant. I went to the bathroom. I washed my hands. We were down here working on the thing, on the campground, and I went and washed my hands, left that watch in the bathroom. So if anybody recognizes that watch, somebody stole it, I want it back. But when I see that picture and I think, to be able to represent my school in Northwestern Pennsylvania at All-State Chorus was a pretty amazing thing. I didn't think I was that good, you have to go to district chorus, and I'd been to district chorus 10th grade and 11th grade, and when I went to district chorus in 11th grade, I made first chair. And then we went to regional chorus, and I made first chair again, which I think they take the top two first chairs. And so I made it to All-State Chorus. And you go the next year. So that picture was taken my senior year, but I actually qualified for my junior year to go. But that was like way above anything I ever would have thought in a million years, Way, way, way above what I thought I could do and be. And that, it just kind of came to my mind that I think God calls me to that. I think God calls all of us to that, to be more than we think we can be, to do more for His kingdom than we think we can do. So many of us as Christians, we just want to do kind of the bare minimum, but God is always calling us. God desires for us to reach higher goals than we can ever imagine. He doesn't demand it. He doesn't say, well, listen, I won't love you if you're not your absolute best. But He desires for all of us to serve Him in a way that is far beyond anything we could ever imagine. That's what God desires. And as individuals and as a church, and I sometimes get very passionate about this, for us calling as a church, God desires for us to always find how much we can actually do for Him. And so this passage in Matthew chapter 13 is all about that in every way. In Matthew 5 verses 13 through 20, it's all about that. It's all about Jesus saying, "Hey, I'm calling you to be more than you think you can be." And first of all, very quickly we're going to go through. First of all, He says that we are salt. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, a preservative in the world. We are here to preserve the truth of the gospel and the truth of what is right and what is good. And I always strive for that in my Christian experience. Salt also is a healing thing. Oftentimes, I remember my mother-in-law, she would get ulcers on her legs, and they were very, very painful. Have surgeries and have skin grafts and everything to try to cover them. But I remember my aunt, my mother-in-law, we would go to the beach once a year. We'd go down to Myrtle Beach or North Carolina. We'd go to Duck Island. And I remember her sitting at the beach and putting her legs in the water. She'd go down with a chair and she would sit in the water, and the salt water would come. And she said it was so good for her to feel that. It was painful, but it was a healing agent. So we're called to be a preservative, but we're also called to be a healing agent for the world. I tell you, folks, if there's anything that that this world needs today, and especially in our country, these last months have been absolutely crazy. We are not called, folks. Now, I know how I feel politically, okay? I know how I feel, and I know how I think politically. But we are not called to choose sides. We are called as Christians to love everyone. Those who think like us and those who don't think like us. That's what we're called to do, because we're called to be salt, preservative and healing. Secondly, we are called to be the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You see, there's no real option there. Jesus didn't say, you know, you guys really can be if you try. Or Jesus didn't say, you know, you might ought to be the light of the world. No, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. When you accept Christ into your life and me, we are the light of the world. Light shines in darkness and reveals the darkness. And we've been talking about that. It reveals the darkness. And we, as the people of light, don't condemn, but we shine in the darkness, and we show what the light of truth can really be. Very, very important truth for us to know. Jesus also says in this passage that we are followers of God's law. And he said it so clearly in these verses. He said, don't misunderstand why I've come. I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. What was the purpose of the law? Anybody know? Why was the law written? It's not a question we ask very often, but why was it written? To establish what between ourselves and God? Who? Rules? Yes, there you go. Rules. What else?
Relationship.
Those rules definitely were formed. They were set by God, especially the Ten Commandments, were sent for a relationship. And Jesus said, you know, the law in its purpose was right for what it was written for those rules that we could follow. And if we followed those rules, then we would be good followers of Christ or followers of God. And God tells them in the Old Testament, you follow these rules, you'll be my people, and I'll be your God. You mess up, and that relationship can be broken. Not on God's end, but on ours. And we pay the result of that. But it was relationship that those laws were written for. They're not optional. Even the Ten Commandments, they are not optional. I told you before, in the Hebrew, I loved translating that a few years ago, the Ten Commandments, how the Scripture said it. You know, there are different ways that you can say you shouldn't do something. Don't do something. One of the ways that you can say that in Hebrew is to say, you know, you really shouldn't drink too much alcohol. It's bad for you. You really shouldn't jump off that cliff. It's a bad thing for you. You really shouldn't do these things, some of those things. And he says them because they're bad for us, and that's good. But the Ten Commandments were written with a small word put in front of all of it in the Hebrew, and that word is lu. And that means don't even think about it. Don't even think about committing adultery. Don't even think about saying false witness against your neighbor. Don't even think about putting another God before him. Don't even think about it. And Jesus says, I've come to actually fulfill all of that. But it was all about relationship, and Jesus came for that. And then lastly, we are achieving higher heights than just keeping the law. See, the law was good, and the law is important, and it's good for us to read the Word of God and to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to match my life around what you're teaching here. It's very, very important. But then Jesus went a step further, believe it or not, and we can see it in that final verse in this passage. Jesus said, I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you and I were sitting there and we knew that the religious leaders of the law had kept every law, and we looked at them and we said, man, they're just perfect. Jesus said, you got to be better than that. And, you know, if I'd have been sitting with my wife, I'd have turned to Heather and said, what? I can't do that. But it is the purpose of the law. It is the meaning behind the law. And it is relationship. Jesus is seeking for us not to just follow rules, but to be seekers of his heart, and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in the world, more than just keeping the law. We are called to go beyond just doing the law and love the way Jesus loved and live the way Jesus lived. We are called to do just that, to be better than just doing good. And I think a lot of us as Christians, we try to follow the laws the best we can, and we do the bare minimum. You know, I'll do my hour in church on Sunday. I'll give a little to the church. I'll do this and I'll do that. And that's fine. And we're all there. We're all there. But you see, Jesus, when he talks about giving in the New Testament, not giving money, but giving ourselves, when he talks about giving in any way of our talents, of our time, of our opportunities, and yes, of our funds, he says, give it all. Go beyond what the law says. How many arguments I've been in with folks through the years who always want to say, you know, well, what do we give, Pastor, 10% of the net or the gross? And that just makes me feel sick. It's like having an appendectomy all over again. Because I don't want to answer that question. Because if you're asking it, what you're asking is, Pastor, what do I need to do minimally to get by? And I don't think Jesus wants that. I think he wants the very best that we can give to him all the time. And that is a wonderful thing. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. How wonderful it is to serve you. We pray that you would bless us today as we follow you and walk your way. Lord, we'll give you thanks for all you do. All the people of God said, amen.